Making room for the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3, as we stand to our feet, begin reading in verse number 10. 2 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 10. We've been going through the book of 1 Peter, our Sunday school. And we're studying about how that Peter was commanded by the Lord to strengthen thy brethren. And 1 Peter and 2 Peter are both epistles that have been written, was written to the believers of those days, to the Jews especially, had been scattered abroad and going through the different battles and the different fights. And we find the encouragement also for us. And in times of great persecution, Peter was writing through the inspiration of the Spirit of God and encouraging these believers. Can you imagine what it must have been like when they got this letter, these letters, and were able to open and receive what Peter had for them? That's an amazing thought, isn't it? And now I was thinking, as we come down to the close of the book of 2 Peter, what encouragement it is for us. And I want us to read together what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." And I want to preach on living for the Lord in the last days. Living for the Lord in the last days. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank You for Your love, and we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You for Christ that died on the cross for our sins. Thank You for salvation that we enjoy so very much. Lord, I thank You for the privilege to live in this day and this age. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to live right, to do the right things, behave the right way. As we realize the last days seem to be coming upon us quickly, I pray that we would be living for You. Lord, help me now as I stand to preach. Help me to say what needs to be said. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to hear what each of us needs to hear. And then, Lord, help us to respond in a way that's pleasing to Thee. Lord, we'll thank You for all that You do, for it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We find in this scripture that Peter's writing to these Jews that have been dispersed abroad, these people in the different parts of the world that's under great persecution. He's writing to them and he closes with the thoughts about the coming of the Lord. And I think we all realize that His coming could be at any moment. And when we look at the writings of Paul, when he says this, know that in the last days perilous times shall come, and we see the list of things that he gives to us in those perilous times, we realize that we are in the midst of what could very well be the last days of this world in the way that it is, before Jesus comes again. Well, in the times like this, it's so easy, especially as believers, to get discouraged and to live a defeated life. But God doesn't want us to be defeated Christians. He has for us the victorious Christian life. And He gives to us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and through great men of old, we find writings in the Bible that helps us to know how to live the right kind of life. I preached a week or two ago on living right in a world that's wrong. And we looked in Hebrews chapter number 13, and we saw that we're not to covet. We're to be content, and we're to be courageous. There's no doubt about that. Well, this is almost like a continuation of that. There's other things that we can do that's going to help us to be courageous in this world and to do the right things and to go forward for God. I think a lot of people have stopped living, growing in grace, if you will, as it says in the last verse. We seem to have a world that's just decided that what we're doing is good enough, but we have to move on. We have to do what God wants us to do. And by the way, God has a perfect plan and a perfect place and a perfect will for our lives. So what is it that we're to do if we're going to be living for the Lord in the last days? Well, I believe the Bible gives us three or four things here that you can jot them down, think about them, hopefully be encouraged by them. Number one, I believe we ought to be looking for the Savior. And I know I've already talked about this, but the Bible says in chapter 3, verse number 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Tonight, if we're going to be living for the Lord in the last days, we need to be looking for the Savior. You want to talk about something that will affect our lives. You want to talk about something that will help us to do the right things in a time when it's not easy to do right. It's when we're really believing that Jesus is coming. And it could be today. As a matter of fact, if we were to start inventorying our life and in the morning we begin to think about what we need to accomplish this day that God would have us to accomplish, and then we begin to think, because at the end of the day, Jesus could very well come, it'll change how we live our lives. It'll change the things that we say. It'll change the things that we do. It'll change the things that we watch. It'll change the things that we hear. It'll change the way that we speak to others. It will change everything. And dear friends, if we really believe what the Bible says about the last days, we really believe that Jesus Christ is coming again, we ought to be looking for and loving the appearing of our Savior. Paul was writing and he wrote to Titus and he says we're to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us. You understand tonight that all the writers in the Bible teaches us that Jesus is coming again. The Old Testament said He's coming and He came. And then the New Testament, Jesus came into this world, and we've discussed that. It's going to be talked about even more. He came into this world, but Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but if I go away, I'm going to come again. Paul said, He's coming again. The angels said, this same Jesus which is taken up from you shall so come in like manner. Jesus is coming again. All throughout the Scriptures and even in the Old Testament prophecies, we see the first coming, the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we also see the return of the Lord in the clouds, and then we find that finally He's going to return to the earth. Amen? And we ought to be excited, and if we're going to live for the Lord in the last days, we need to be looking for the Savior. We need to be living as though He could come at any moment. We ought to take into consideration our responsibilities, if you will, and to believe with all of our heart that if Jesus were to come, He ought to find us busy doing His will with our lives. It makes me think about the second thing. Not only should we be looking for the Savior, we ought to be laboring in His service. Laboring in His service. Notice what the Bible says. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. He says, if we're really looking for the Lord, then we ought to be looking for it, and when He comes, He ought to find us with peace, without spot and blameless. I think it'd be a sad thing for the Lord Jesus to come and us to be in some backslidden state. Some place away from where God would have us to be. Not doing with our lives. God knows we're not perfect. I'm glad. His mercy is and grace is sufficient for the fact that we're not perfect. That we make our mistakes every day of our lives. But when He comes back, He ought to at least find us desiring and doing to the best of our ability what we can for the Lord. Notice what the Bible says. Seeing that you look for such things, truly you're looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're looking for the Savior, if you're really looking for the Savior, you'll be diligent. That means everlastingly at it. You know, we take a lot of breaks, don't we? Take a lot of breaks in our work for the Lord, in our life for the Lord, and living for the Lord. Last days are upon us. We ought to be diligent, seeing that we'd be found in Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. That word blameless doesn't mean perfect, does it? It just means that if Peter were to return, that we would be without blame in what we're doing. We all have our, let's say, besetting sins, right? There's no doubt. Different people have different besetting sins. Satan knows what those sins are. He knows our weaknesses because we've revealed our weakness to Satan. Satan can't read our mind, but we open ourselves up. And he knows the very things. And I'm going to tell you something. The closer the day of the Lord comes, the more attacks Satan is going to bestow upon us. And so, if we're going to be blameless, we're going to have to be diligent in our life for the Lord. Be diligent in the things that God would have us do, the things that we know. And I try to tell people this all the time. Do the simple things, and then start taking steps to do the more difficult things. What's the simple things? Well, the simple things is be faithful to church. That's the simplest thing we can do, as God has given us health. The simple things is give the way that God teaches us to give. He's given us what we need. He's told us what we're to do in that way. The simple things is to tell others what the Lord Jesus has done for us. It ought to be an easy thing for us to talk to others about what God's done for us. I've never understood people saying, well, I'm just too shy and too backwards. I want to tell you something. If the Lord Jesus has saved your soul and He's taken you out of the hell that you deserve and promised you a heaven that you're going to get, surely we ought to be able to say something about His love for us. Doesn't mean that we're going cramming it down people's throats. It doesn't mean that we're going to come out of being an introvert and all of a sudden we're just going, our mouth's going to open up and let her fly. You know? But it does mean that there's something that's living inside of us that's so good and so precious that we're not ashamed to tell others about it. See, we ought to be living for the Lord in the last days. We ought to be looking for the Savior, and we ought to be laboring in His service. We ought to be doing this. And where do we labor? Well, we labor everywhere we are. We labor in our homes. You have to work at this. It's not an easy thing to do. You labor in your home for the Lord. You make sure that the Bible is read in your home. You make sure that your home is a place of prayer. If you have children, you teach your children to pray. Teach your children about the importance of the Bible and that it needs to be a part of their life every day. Then you labor when you go shopping. How in the world do you labor when you go shopping? Well, anybody who goes shopping knows it's laborious to go shopping, right? Amen. And all God's men said, amen. Amen. And some ladies don't care for it either, I know that. But we labor in His service. And when we go shopping, you know what that means? That means when the lines are long and crowded, you don't sit there and gripe and complain the whole time. Oh, Lord, help me. Forgive me, Lord, I have greatly sinned. Somebody told me, every time you get in a line and that line seems to be delayed, it could be that God's placed you in there to at least hand somebody a gospel tract. You labor when you go shopping. You find a place. You find peace there, you know. And look, this is the worst time of the year to go shopping. We were going yesterday to a couple places to try to finish up with just some little things we wanted to do. And I looked at Jody and said, do you want to go this way or do you want to go towards Brandon? She said, please don't go towards Brandon. And there's a reason for that, you know. It's terrible. Where we went wasn't great. But you go and people are crazy. You know, I mean, you saw the death of the employee of Walmart. People trampled him trying to get in and get the good deals on the day after Thanksgiving. And it's crazy. You know? laboring in his service is doing the Christian thing, even when it's crazy all around you. It's like it's laboring at work. Doing your job right is a part of the Christian life. Doing the best you can is part of the Christian life. But then, doing it for the glory of the Lord is the most important part of the Christian life. The greatest thing you can do, the greatest influence you can have, is to be the right kind of Christian where you work. It's great influence. And it's hard work. It's not easy. You know, some people are blessed to have a whole bunch of people around them that are saved and, you know, or at least respect Christians. But not everybody has that. I worked on so many different crews, and I worked in a chemical plant, and this plant on that one particular property at the time employed about 10,000 people in one place. I worked on dozens of different work crews. Some crews, I mean, they truly respected that I was a Christian and that God had called me to preach. And, you know, others, they could have cared less about it. And you had to work harder sometimes. But I found out the times when the ones cared less, it seems like that was the ones I was able to have more influence on. Because he's able to live for the Lord in front of them. And, you know, at first they got a little bit angry when I'd walk away from a joke being told. But then they got to the point where they wouldn't tell a joke. And then they got to the point where you never heard even a curse word. Now, that don't mean that they all got saved. It just means they began to respect some things. And, you know, of course, I would have my little shots, and they would say, you know, why does it bother you so much? I said, well, to be honest with you, I respect the English language a little bit more than to use words like that. And I said, also, I respect other people, you know? And I said, I'm not trying to be mean or ugly. I said, but, you know, I just think that you can do better. I found out if you're just honest with people and not in a mean way, they respect that. I'll tell you what, the Lord helps. There were some people who was able to win to the Lord, but there's a lot of people I worked at it and worked at it and worked at it. And, buddy, it was like trying to talk to that desk right there. You couldn't get anything in. But that was between them and the Lord. They'll answer to God, laboring in His service. Look, if we're looking for His coming, we're going to have to be diligent in our labors. And then the third thing, living for the Lord in the last days, we ought to be loving the Scriptures. Loving the Scriptures. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 15, in the account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. In other words, the reason Jesus hasn't come yet is for the salvation of souls. And Paul was writing about this. And Paul, according to wisdom, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in the terms of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other Scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. We ought to be loving the Scriptures. This is saying right here that a lot of people don't understand the things about the return of the Lord and about the Christian life. And people wrestle with that and people fight against that. But we know these things are going to happen. We have an understanding of this. And we ought to have a desire to know what the Bible has to say. What is going to happen in the last days? Well, the Bible tells us what's going to happen in the last days. How do we have a Christian home? The Bible tells us how to have a Christian home. How do we give a personal testimony? The Bible shows us how to give a personal testimony. It's Christmas time. There'll be gifts given and gifts received, and there's no doubt that there's going to be things that needs to be put together. And we men know how to put something together just by opening up the box and looking at the parts. There's no doubt about it. First secular job I ever had was I worked for Patey Lumber Company. And I worked in that place, and they had these gas grills. And they said to people that would buy these gas grills, we'll assemble them for you for $10. There's no gas grill that can be put together, and it's worth $10 of your time. Not a one. But when you work there as an employee, you put it together and the company gets the $10 and you just get your hourly wage. That's how it is. Well, I got the joy of doing that for a while. You know, when somebody would want one put together, they would call me. And I remember the first time I opened up one of those boxes, I spread out that sheet. I put out all the little nuts and bolts and screws, and I said, "Oh, Lord, help me. I'll never get this done, you know? I never put one together. I had 2 hours." And if you've never done one, that's not an easy task. I didn't make it. But the people were late coming to get it. I'm so happy about that. I didn't make it. But then, you know, I started putting them together. Well, then it got a little bit easier. Then I thought one time how foolishly I thought this. This time I've done it enough. I can put this together. You know? And I had the instructions over there. But I didn't look. And I got done. And I thought, something's not right here. It didn't look right. There were bolts, a lot more bolts, because usually you get a few extra anyway. There was a lot more bolts left over. There were little things that looked really important that was laying out on the floor, and they weren't in the grill, and I thought, you know, boy, what have I done? You know what I had to do? I had to take that thing apart because I couldn't figure out what I had missed. And I had to start all over. When I started all over, I was so, you know, aggravated and agitated. But if I'd have just went with the instructions and made sure to reference what they told me, things that I may have already known, but sometimes need to be reminded again. Sometimes I need to be refreshed again. Sometimes it's just so important to read it again. Then I wouldn't have been in the predicament I was in. And you may have read the Bible through 10 times, 15 times, maybe once or twice. Maybe you've never even read the Bible through. But I'm going to tell you something, it don't matter how much you think you know the Bible, you don't ever need to cast it aside and think you can live this life on your own. You need to love the Scriptures. You need to fall in love with it all over again. You need to really, really realize, you know, I need the Bible. And I found out something, when you need something, you love it. I need my wife. And I found out because of that need that I have that God's put in my life for her, I love her that much more because she fulfills those needs in my life. The love, the ability to sit and to talk, and the times when I'm so grouchy and grumpy, and she sits and she works me through it. You don't know me well enough to say amen right there, brother. You got that right. There's times that I just get crazy and I need her to calm me down, you know? And she does. I love her so much. And there's times in my life and I think, boy, I can just handle this. I know what I'm, you know, I'm too busy. Get up in the morning and you got something to do, you're too busy. But if you really love Jesus, you'll love the Scriptures. And you'll love having them a part of your life. And you'll realize that if you try to live that day without it, you'll begin to think, I really need them. It's not that I just want them, I need them. I need God's Word in my life. I need these instructions. I've been here before, but I need the Word of God to help me get through it again. None of us are smart enough to make it through this life without the Lord. None of us are strong enough to live the Christian life, to live for the Lord in the last days without Him. And then finally, to be learning in submission. Learning in submission. Notice what the Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. We need to just submit ourselves to the things of God. We submit ourselves to His will. What is God's will for your life? You know, I can't tell you God's will other than it's God's will for you to be saved. It's God's will for you to be a part of a local church. It's God's will for you to tell others about Jesus. I can tell you that. But as far as God's direction, as far as what God wants you to do with your life, I can't tell you that. You have to submit to the authority of the Lord in your life. He's the one. God has a will for your life. And in this will, you're going to find happiness. Even when others think you're crazy, when others think, you know, you can't go to India and be a missionary. You can't go to Africa and be a missionary. You can't do this. You can't do that. And they, you know, that's just crazy. Over there, they're cutting people's heads off that are Christians. But that's what God wants me to do. By the way, that's the final authority. And our submission is to be to the Lord. We grow in grace. We grow in Him. And we do God's will. And we submit to the will of God. We submit to the work of God. He never said His work would be easy. I've talked to people. They said, well, you know, I tried the God stuff. And after I trusted Him, it seemed like life got harder. Well, I've got news for you. It's going to. But it gets better too. It's harder because Satan's going to come after you. Before, whether you believe this or not, he already had you. You already belonged to Satan. But now that you belong to the Lord, Satan says, I've got to stop them from working. I've got to stop them from doing with their life the work that God wants them to do. So you know what he'll do? He comes at you. He attacks. He comes at you. How are you going to make it? You submit not to the devil, you submit to the Lord. And you let God fight the fight for you. You walk in His will. You submit to His will and you submit to His work. His work is something that's the most precious thing in the world, to work for Him. Because we receive our rewards according to the works that we do for the Lord and with the Lord in our lives. We learn in submission. You remember I said God knows that we're not perfect. So in the work sometimes, you know what you're going to do? Make a mistake. You're not going to do it just exactly the right way. And you may have a boss that you work for and they won't let you live with that. But there's a God up in heaven that's merciful, and He knows if you're trying to do what He wants you to do, and you make your mistakes, you know what He'll do? He'll forgive you of that mistake. You know what we do sometimes? Is we start trying to do the work on our own. You know? We just get so busy with the work. Well, I know how to do this. I know how to preach. To be honest with you, and this is not, I've been preaching now for a long time. 22 years. Good. I've been preaching for a while. If I was sitting in a church service and somebody said, will you come up and preach a sermon for us? And I have a note in my Bible, I could get up and preach. I ought to be able to do that, right? Sure, shouldn't I be able to do that? If I've been preaching for 22 years, I mean, I ought to have something. And by the way, as long as you give the Word of God, you can't go wrong in giving the Word of God. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit behind it. Here's the thing, I could get up and preach, but the only way it's going to be any good is if I've been living the way I ought to be living before I get up to preach. They could call me up there and I could give a Bible message, but it's not going to do a bit of good if I've not been submitting to His will and to His work in my life. And by the way, it's the same way with teaching a Sunday school class. It's the same way with singing a song, or leading the choir, or leading the congregation, praying with people, witnessing to others. We have got to learn to submit to the authority of God in our lives. I tell people all the time, I'm not your Holy Spirit. Can't be. I'm not going to be one. Now, if you do something that's detrimental to the work of the church, that is absolutely hindering the work of God in this church, then I'll do my best to deal with that. A lot of times I pray through it before I'm not one. Some people says I procrastinate too long. Then I deal with things in a way that I really ask God. Brother Bobby Robertson taught me one time. He said, look, we had trouble in the church, and he said, I didn't know what to do about it. He said, boy, people in the church, they just wanted me to go and do this and want me to go and do this. And he said, I decided I was going to pray about it. He said, you know, God took care of that problem. It was about a year and a half later. He said, I went through some rough roads, people thinking I'll do it. He said, but I was just waiting on God. And through that time, God taught me some things. And I was sitting there thinking, you know what? Sometimes we think we've got to handle something and we just got to go full force ahead and try to rip it apart. Now, if it's something, you know, that's horrible, I think we do have to do that. Sometimes I deal with things that people don't even know that I deal with. But we try to do it in the way that God wants us to do, because I have got to submit to His authority. Well, here's the thing. I'm not your Holy Spirit. You're going to answer to the Lord one of these days for the way that the Holy Spirit worked in your life and your submission to the Spirit of God. Because isn't that the way the Lord works in our life? It's through the Holy Spirit. Learning in submission. I'm learning. You're still learning. You don't know it all yet, and I don't know it all yet. And I won't know it all till I have a mind like His. And you know when I'm going to have a mind like His? When I see Him. Hallelujah. Living for the Lord in the last days. It's not an easy thing to do. But I want to tell you that when we think about the time that Peter was writing this, and we think about all the persecution that those believers were going through, we think about mighty Nero being on the throne and literally running over believers. We think about all the wicked things that he did, and we think we've got it bad. We don't have it bad. It may get that way, but we're still blessed. There's other parts of the world that are facing great persecution, but we don't have an excuse. May the Lord help us to live for the Lord in the last days. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for the time that we've had to look into your word. I pray, Lord, that it's helped us tonight to see certain things, to understand certain things. Lord, we're living in a time we realize that according to your word, that you could come at any moment. So, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to live for thee, to love thee, to love thy word, to learn and to look for you to come. And realizing, Lord, that if you were to come today, you need to find us busy doing what you want us to be doing. I pray tonight's helped us and encouraged us and strengthened us to go on for you. Help us, Lord, to make sure that this precious word is part of our lives every day, and not just reading it, but submitting to its power.